If you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along, the lesson this evening will be taken from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ that are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have toward all the saints. I'm going to stop here and just comment for a minute. Paul addresses this letter to the brethren at Colossae. He makes sure that they understand it's written from him and Timothy. And he says it's written to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And he talks about, in many of his letters, as he does here, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We spent quite a bit of time in our adult class over the last, about a year ago, studying grace. And we know this grace is all-encompassing. It covers very many, many different things. And basically, grace is one of the definitions we came up with is basically what God does for us that there's no way possible for any man ever to do. It's God's action taken for us where we could not possibly act. And chief among the grace is the fact that we may have our sins forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. And Paul offers that to the Colossians, to whoever he wrote to, and therefore it's also offered to us as those that read this. And in verse 3, he makes the point that they give thanks to God, and he tells who this God is. This God is the Father, he says, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they pray always for the brethren at Colossae, because he's heard, he says, of the faith that they have in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have toward all the saints. I would love for that to be something that people would say about us, and I believe it is, actually, the brethren at Mill Road, that visitors who come and visit among us and new people who come and join us, that what they're able to see is the love that we have towards one another and towards God. And our desire is to serve God and to show our love to him by obeying what he's given us to do, submitting to him as our Lord and our Master, and then demonstrating love to one another like he's shown love to us. And then in verse 5 he says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, even as it is also in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing as it doth in you also, since the day ye heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Even as ye learned of Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras was a messenger communicating back and forth between the brethren at Colossae and Paul and Timothy. And Epaphras had told them of the love and the faithfulness of the brethren at Colossae. And that's a great thing to be known for a congregation. And like I said, I hope that's our prayer, but that's what we will be known for, is our love and our faithfulness to God and love for each other. And then in verse 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and to make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So in these verses here, once again, he indicates that he's praying constantly for these brethren, and now he gives a little bit more detail about what he prays for. He prays that they would be filled, he says, with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's something that we should all desire, to be filled with the will of God, the knowledge of his will. And that comes through his word, and we have his word in the scriptures. And he talks about spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is, we know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. To know something means I know the facts. But wisdom means that I can use that knowledge of the facts to make wise decisions, to make wise choices, to say wise things, and to avoid saying foolish things and making foolish choices and doing foolish things. And that's the wisdom that we want to have, and it's a spiritual wisdom. So as we grow in knowledge of God and of His Word, remember God's Word is described in Hebrews 4:12 as being active, living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and to know actually what it is that we're thinking and what we're doing. And that Word being so powerful means it can also change us. It can reform us, and it can change us into the type of people that God wants us to be. So as we gain knowledge of His Word and use it in our lives, then we develop this spiritual wisdom, and we become more and more like Christ, which means we are Christians. That's what Christian means, is to be like Christ. And so that's our desire for each and every one of us, that we would be that way. Then he continues in verse 13. He says, "Who delivered us," talking about God, "delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." So he talks about the power of darkness. That's the realm of Satan. Where Satan has control over us, we're in darkness. We may think that we're in the light, but if we are walking according to the teachings of Satan, if we are violating God's will, then we're actually in darkness. And we don't want to be there. None of us want to be there, because the outcome of that is eternal damnation. So we don't want to be in darkness. We want to be in the light. And we can be delivered. He says, God actually delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And when does that happen? That happens when we become a Christian, when we are baptized into Christ. We go into the water as a sinner, and we come up out of that water with our sins washed away. And we are a new creation, the scriptures teach us. We're a new person. And we have been translated from that kingdom of darkness into this kingdom of the Son of His love. In verse 14 it says, "In whom," that's in Christ, "we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." That's what redemption is. It's the forgiveness of our sins. So it is our salvation. And then verse 15, still talking about Jesus, he says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and your evil works." Think about that, being alienated from God and enemies, he says, in your mind, in your evil works. That's the situation that we're in when we are living in sin. When we sin against God, we become enemies of God. And our mind is corrupted. And actually, we become enemies of God. We've been talking in our adult class about Saul and David, and how Saul could only view David as his enemy, even though David was not his enemy. But that's the only way he could view him, because his mind was corrupted by his sin and by his bitterness. And the same thing can happen to us, and in fact does happen to us, when we sin against God and we go into sin. That's why we need God's grace. So tonight, as we're getting ready to sing the invitation song, what we're going to do is offer an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you have not put on Christ in baptism and you recognize that's what you need to do, that can happen tonight. That can happen in the next few minutes. We've got a baptistry here that's full of water and ready. If you recognize that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that can happen tonight. And you can leave here as a new person, out of darkness and in the light. Or if you are a child of God, you have already been baptized into Christ, but you still have strayed and you have stumbled and you need the prayers of the congregation, you need to make things right, we're here and we stand ready and willing to assist you in that. So if any of these cases you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we invite you to please come forward and let us know as we stand and sing.